All right, all. Thanks for joining us. This is Nurse Stories. I'm Dr. John McCray. I'm a nurse practitioner practicing out of Idaho, and I own and operate an aesthetics practice. It has been my dream come true. And today we're going to talk about a little bit about nursing burnout. We're going to talk about some of the shifting financial implications in the healthcare industry and how it's affecting nurses. Some of the recent news out there, we're going to kind of talk about some of the things that are happening in the industry. So it should be really good. So buckle up and come along for a ride. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our sponsors, who are Five Square Aesthetics. Five Square Aesthetics is a company that gets nurses off the bedside and into a side hustle doing what they love to do, aesthetics. From finding you a medical director to getting you the training, heck, they'll even get you discounted products for your injectable business. They have everything you need to get you where you want to be. So if you're a nurse and you're out there and you're looking to get into aesthetics, reach out to fivesquareaesthetics.com and schedule a call, and they'll be happy to walk you through the process. All right. So today we're going to talk about finances in nursing, and we're going to talk a little bit about how nurses make money, what's happened in recent years, and the cultural shift that's happening in healthcare. When I started as a bedside nurse, I graduated in 2011. And I got my first job offer as a bedside nurse in a medical surgical unit for $21.76. That was in 2011. So about 13 years ago. It's now 2024. And I was thrilled because, I mean, obviously I was working like part-time jobs and stuff like that. At $21 an hour, I'd be making about $40,000 my first year. And with that salary, what did I do? I had a wife that stayed home with my child. We were able to purchase a house in the middle of Boise, Idaho, which, you know, is not really a thing anymore because house prices have gone so much. I had two cars, I had a house, was able to pay my bills and have a very comfortable middle of the road, middle class lifestyle. And I was thrilled. Worked some overtime for some extra money if I wanted to go on a trip, you know, do some incentive shifts and things like that. And so really that $41,000 or $40,000 salary, probably my first year with overtime and whatnot, probably got me up to around 50 grand. Now, what happened? Well, obviously inflation's going in, salaries went up. Oh, by the way, before I go that way, I remember about 2 years into my nursing career, you know, maybe at that point I was making like $22, $23 an hour. They did this study, and they posted it on Facebook, and they said they had done an analysis on all 50 states. This is probably in 2012, 2013, and they calculated which state was the best state to be a nurse in. And at that time, everybody wanted to be a California nurse because California nurses were known to make the most money. Around then, it was, you know, $50 plus an hour. Well, this analysis that they did took in things like crime, they took in things like wages, benefits, things of that nature. And my peasly $22 an hour, Idaho was ranked the best state to be a nurse in. And this is, you know, 2012, 2013. And I remember thinking, well, money's not the whole picture. Money's part of the picture. It's an important part of the picture. But when you look at the cost of living, and again, 2012, 2013, Idaho had a very low cost of living. You buy a house for $125,000. My first home in Idaho in 2011 was $125,000. Versus California at the time, where, you know, $500,000 homes, $750,000 homes, where a $50 an hour job just wasn't enough to pay the bills. So then things happened, right? We had COVID really messed up nursing. I mean, it devastated the way nurses work in the hospital setting. So what happened? We had an epidemic come in. And well, let's, before we talk about COVID, let's back up a little bit more. As I went through my nursing career, I kind of started climbing the corporate ladder. You know, I went back to school, I got my DNP, but while I was doing that, I stayed on and kept my administrator job. I left the hospital in 2018, 2019, somewhere in there. I had effectively doubled my salary. I was making around $80,000 a year, doing some administrative work, you know, things of that nature. and a new nurse coming into the hospital. I remember they had just raised the wage to $30 or $31 an hour. And I was like, man, it would have been nice if I could have made $30 an hour coming straight out of school. But the new grads in 2018, 2019 were making just over $30 an hour. That's a $60,000 a year job. Then COVID happened. Now, I was not in the hospital during COVID. I was running my own practice at that point. But COVID really threw a mess into the healthcare system. And the biggest thing that happened was the states that had a really dire need for nurses started offering crazy money to nurses to come and do extra work. I even thought about closing my practice down and being a travel nurse to New York. They actually reached out to me and they were going to pay me something like $16,000 a month to come work the hospitals in New York City. And we saw this huge flux of people leaving the bedside and going into travel nursing. And then the travel, and then literally going back to the same hospital, but through a travel agency role to get more money. And I can't tell you how many of my nurse friends did that. I mean, half. They, ICU nurses, ER nurses, they got in there. Why? Because the government was funding all these COVID programs. And the hospitals had all this grant money and extra money to deal with the COVID. And they didn't mind writing the government checks. I had a patient in my clinic come in and her job was responsible for signing the travel nursing contracts at a local hospital. And she told me, yeah, I can't believe what I just signed. I go, what's that? She goes, we needed rehab nurses. Now, rehab nursing, for those of you that aren't nurses, isn't the most technically, you know, advanced nurse job. I mean, it's important and it's busy and you work your butt off, a lot of lifting manual stuff. But as far as people dying, I mean, they're in rehab. It usually doesn't happen too much. And she goes, I just signed a rehab nurse contract for $250-something an hour. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, we're paying $250 an hour for a travel nurse to come in and do rehab. And this is in the middle of the pandemic. And I was like, holy smokes, I'm in the wrong line of work. I mean, I wasn't making that kind of money in my practice. And you know, as these stories get out, nurses are like, well, screw this. I'll leave the bedside at $31, $32 an hour and I'll go to be a travel nurse and make $100 an hour. And so you saw all these travel nurses. And then something interesting happened. Inflation happened. In the last 3 years in the United States, we've had over 20% inflation. The government COVID money dried up and the hospitals couldn't afford to do that anymore. And they just stopped taking travel contracts. And all those nurses had to come back and ask for their jobs. Now I hear in my market that new nurses are getting hired, you know, in the high 30s right now to the low 40s, somewhere in there, or some if you have a little bit of experience, they're taking pay cuts to get back into it. And if you're a nurse, you know this: bedside nursing, ER nursing, ICU nursing, while rewarding, is incredibly difficult. And so you got used to this year or two of just ungodly amounts of money coming in, which is one of the reasons that, you know, we had inflation, to back to meat and potatoes. And then what else happened during COVID? Everything got expensive. The average house now in Boise, $400,000. That's the median home. Okay. Now I look at a new nurse coming out of school. What are they doing? They're coming out of school. They have student loan debts. And they get offered that first job at, you know, $37 an hour. Well, that's going to roughly make them about $75,000 a year. You can't buy a house at $75,000 a year with a $400,000 mortgage. They're not going to approve you. So what happens? Now you have to marry another nurse and your spouse has to make $75,000 so you can get $150,000 so you could afford a median home in this area. And it's not just Boise. Utah's like that. California's like that. Oregon's like that. You know, Nashville, holy smokes, Tennessee's housing market just blew up. And there's some, you know, more depressed areas like some areas of Texas and Ohio where you can still, you know, get the best of both worlds. But the amount of money it takes now to live that middle-class life where a spouse can stay home is very difficult. And so what's happening is nurses are feeling even more pressure to work extra shifts. Well, what happens if you work extra shifts? Yeah, you get more money, but you get burned out faster. And I just saw a study or survey where they asked nurses, you know, how do you like your job? 85% of them said they're planning on leaving within the next year. 85%. And so they're planning on leaving. And what happens when that happens? Shortages, wait times, hospitals can't take as many patients. Hospitals need butts and beds. That's how they make money. It's called a midnight census. At midnight, the hospital gets to say if that bed's full or not. And that's how they make their money. So we have a situation where nurses aren't getting paid what they deserve. We have situations where they do not like their life, their work life, and they want to leave and they want to get out to it. And I've seen this cycle happen several times in nursing. The boom times, nurses get out of the industry. Why? It's mostly a female-dominated profession. They often will have husbands that make good jobs, and they don't need the money, and they want to stay home and be a mom or, you know, whatever life choices they have. And because it's, I think the last number I saw, 16% of nursing was male and 84% was female. Those 84% start going to part-time. You know, they have babies. They're like, I'm not going to come back full-time. And during the good times, which we just got through, they tend to leave the field. The burnout gets to them. But what happens during the bad times? The bad times, the hospitals can't afford to hire more nurses. Husband loses his job, and the nurses are forced to get back into it, and the jobs kind of dry up. And I've seen that cycle twice now in my nursing career, where hard to get a job because the economy is bad when you need it. And then when the economy is good, there's plenty of jobs and plenty of nurses, but they just don't want to work as much. So it's a very interesting situation with the way nursing has evolved. I mean, to see a salary double in, you know, what, 12 years, 13 years, I don't think there's very many industries out there where the average person getting into it, the price of entry has, or your salary has doubled. So anyways, I thought that was fascinating. I thought I'd share that with you, that little bit. Another news headline in the ether is what's happening over in Texas. So there's a hospital in Texas called Texas Children, and they just announced a whole bunch of layoffs, just like I was talking about. Part of their COVID incentive, they needed ICU nurses, and ICU nurses are really hard to come by. It's a highly skilled avenue of nursing. You got to have a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience to be good there. A lot of travel nurses or ICU nurses, because there's just a shortage of them nationwide. To keep their ICU nurses, they did a permanent $12 an hour pay bump. Well, it's great for them, right? 12 hour, that's what, $24,000 a year. Well, COVID money's dried up. The economy's getting bad. Insurance companies are squeezing. And they just told all those ICU nurses, yeah, we're getting rid of that $12 an hour. So now you're an ICU nurse. You've been for the last couple of years making, you know, an extra $24,000 a year. And, you know, by the way, we've had 20% inflation. Everything in your life is now 20% more expensive. And now we're going to take $24,000 away from you. What's going to happen? They're going to leave. They're going to go find something else to do. They're going to grumble. They're going to gripe. They're going to work less hard. You know, it's just human nature. And so, you know, on top of that, what else they did? They laid off 5% of the nurses, roughly 1,000 nurses they're laying off in that hospital. It's going to create shortages. And then the nurses that are left are going to be, it's not like the patients are going to stop coming. They're still going to come, but now there's less staff to take care of them. And what's going to happen? They're going to get burned out. And when they get burned out, they're going to leave. And when they leave, they got to hire a new one. The cost of replacing a new nurse, last figures I checked, which was several years ago, is roughly to the organization $60,000 to $70,000. So when you lay off a nurse, or a nurse quits or leaves their job and you replace them, it's going to cost you $70,000. And what does that mean? Direct training costs, loss of experience, mistakes. Obviously, a newer nurse is going to make more mistakes than an older nurse. Anyways, it's going to be expensive. And a lot of these organizations are very short-sighted. They know that. Everybody knows that. But they got problems today. So anyways, that's the situation in Texas Children's Hospital. I just find it funny that, you know, they're all going to be taking a $24,000 pay cut, but their CEO, I believe, over there is getting $8 million a year. Almost 2% of their total expenses in the hospital go to pay 20 people salaries in Texas. 20 people. And when you're laying off 1,000 nurses, and that's 5%, that's 20,000 nurses in your organization. Right? And 20 people are taking 2% or 1.6%, I think is the exact figure, compared to 33% of their finances for all the other employees. And I think there's about 20,000 employees in that organization. So anyways, it's fascinating. So problems always trickle down to the grunts. The grunts take it. The grunts work harder. And unfortunately right now, the grunts are nurses. So that's what's going on in the industry right now. So we hear all these stories of nurses leaving their job. And, you know, I'm always wondering, like, why is that? Like, you know, it's not that they're leaving their job and they're going home and quitting, although that does happen. Like, I see that a lot with new mothers. Without exception, when I ran my med-surg unit at the hospital here locally, if a woman got pregnant, and they were financially secure, meaning her husband had a good job. After the baby was born, they always came back to part-time. Always, if not completely, stayed at home with the child, which is perfectly fine. I mean, motherhood is one of the hardest jobs, and 100%, you know, do that if that's what makes you happy. We saw a little bit of that. Most of the time, what we see is job hopping. Like, they get tired of med-surg, and then they go to pre-op. And then they get tired of pre-op and they go to ICU. And they get tired of ICU and they'll go into management. They'll get tired of management and they'll go back to school. You know, it's not that they quit, it's that they're job hopping. And job hopping is so expensive for these organizations. I mean, it's great that they can keep them within the ecosystem. But every time a nurse moves, it just costs so much money to these organizations. And it rather than let's just keep them happy where they're at. And nursing's not that different from providers. So if you're an MD and you're in your field, and let's say you're a colorectal surgeon, they get burned out just like the nurses do. 100% they do. They're doing the same thing day in, day out, dealing with patients, dealing with gripers. You know, patients are dying. Patients are, you know, calling at all hours. They do a lot of babysitting. I mean, and there's a ton of, especially in primary care, there's a ton of burnout for providers. But what's the difference? Why do providers stay in their roles for a career? You know, a colorectal surgeon's always going to be a colorectal surgeon. They rarely jump ship and do something different, although it does happen. It does happen. What's the difference? Well, the difference is they make a lot more money. Hospital care is nursing care. You don't go to the hospital for your doctor. You go to the hospital because the nurses have to take care of you. And the hospitals don't pay nurses anywhere near what a physician makes. And rightfully so. I mean, a physician had to go to school for, you know, 8 years, 4 years of med school or 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of med school. They had to do a residency, which is usually 4 to 5 years, and they have to do a fellowship for a year or two, if not longer. I mean, some like an cardiologist that has a certification in electrophysiology, it's like a 15-year program. And you're like 35 before you come out. Yeah, you better be making $1 million a year when you come out. So they tend to stay because they put so much effort into it. But the nurses just don't get, you know, what's due to them. If they were paid more, they're not going to leave. If a med-surg nurse was paid more than an ICU nurse, everybody would be a med-surg nurse. If an ICU nurse was paid more than an ER nurse, everybody's going to be an ICU nurse. So nursing tends to flow where the money goes. And it's a little unfortunate, but at the end of the day, we all want a good life and a good way of living. And the way that third-party payers pay organizations and things of that nature, they're just not sticking around in the job. So that's my take on it. Might be right, might be wrong, but that's my experience on why nurses leave their job. So what do? You're a nurse. You're tired of it. You want to make a good living. You want to make a good living that you don't have to work 60 hours a week. You want to make a living where you can enjoy your kids. You can have free time. You're not working night shift. Don't even get me started on night shift. You know, what do you do? Well, we just see him leaving into other fields. And a big immigration is out of the bedside into aesthetics. We're seeing a lot more nurses get into aesthetics and do side hustles in aesthetics. And these side hustles, they can make really decent money working very minimal. I've coached a lot of nurses over my career that have done just that. $200 an hour, $300 an hour of profit doing aesthetics, doing concierge aesthetics, meaning you go to somebody's house or somebody's business and inject them. Everybody's happy when they come to see you. Nobody's throwing plates at you. I mean, you've heard all the stories on this podcast before of people hitting and people fighting and yelling and screaming and pressing charges on them. That doesn't happen in aesthetics. Everybody's happy. Everybody wants to come to see you. Everybody wants to get the treatment. And there's good profits margins in there. So for those nurses that are out there that are a little entrepreneurial and want to do a little side hustle, don't give up the day job, but start learning a side hustle. And the side hustle could someday become your day job. And nurses are fantastic at it. So that's the current situation we got going on in America with financing. I don't have a solution for you. It's hard. You know, a hospital can only get money from third-party payers, and third-party payers don't want to pay them the money that they need. And, you know, government isn't paying them what they need. And so they have to make tough decisions, and it turns into a really, really, really bad situation. So anyways, so that's the topic for today. Burnout in nursing, hospitals cutting. And it's not just in Texas, it's everywhere. And it's going to happen more and more. They haven't announced it. We're in a recession right now. Here it is, mid-2024. It's an election year. The government's not admitting that they're in a recession. But you're going to see more and more of these types of stories coming out of nurses getting laid off and looking for something else to do. So if you're one of those nurses, reach out to our sponsor, Five Square Aesthetics, and they will get you going in the aesthetic industry. So until next time, we'll hopefully have a guest next time, and we will give a shout out to all of you for working the hard job. Appreciate our nurses. You're what makes us all healthy. You're what keeps us alive. Keep it up. We appreciate you. And I'll see you next time.